Good evening and welcome to Amplify, a telephone talk show that looks at life from a religious perspective. I'm Father Ron Langwin, hoping that you have felt the warmth of God's love in your life this day, but especially the joy you feel when you share God's love with others. I decided this evening we're going to talk about angels. I had hoped to have Mike Aquilina with us. It was a last minute. He couldn't do that because of something else he had to do. But the reason I decided that was kind of a respite from the kinds of things that are going on in our country, in the church, and all around us. We tend to forget about the angels created by God to assist us, to be with us, to help us in so many ways. Because we don't see them, we don't believe them, in them. And so seeing too often is believing. But they've been a very important part of my life, and I want to be able to share that with you. And I'll be opening our phone lines at some point to talk about whether you have a devotion to angels and why, or have you had such an experience with angels. And why this weekend? Because yesterday was the Feast of the Archangels. And on Tuesday, we celebrate the Feast of the Guardian Angels. And so we're riding between these two particular feasts. It used to be that yesterday was the Feast of St. Michael. And each of the three Archangels had a different date. And then they brought them all together. But not going to change the format to the extent that I'm going to begin our program with a story that is based on faith, informed with imagination, and yes, it's about angels. It's a story titled Angels Surround Us, taken from the book Stories of Jesus, a gospel of faith and imagination. Jesus sat down on the warm sand and admired the power and beauty of the waves. They seemed to touch the sky. There was no expression on his face, just peace, nothing else. Peter came to him and said, "Master, Master, come. Aren't you lonely? You have been sitting there for hours. The sun is beating down upon you, and there is much work to be done tomorrow." Jesus smiled at his friend and answered, "But Peter, I'm not alone." Peter looked around quickly but saw no one. He said, "Master, you have been in the sun too long. Come." And he tried to pull Jesus up. Jesus replied, "Come, come, sit down with me." Peter said, "Master, you do not understand. I have much work to do." Jesus gently patted his hand and said, "Peter, Peter, there is time. Be patient." Peter sighed and thought, "There he goes again." Jesus smiled because he knew what Peter was thinking and asked, "Peter, do you think I am wise?" Peter answered, Well, yes, of course you are, or I wouldn't be following you. I would not be spending my whole time, my whole life." Before he could finish, Jesus looked at him, and Peter immediately became silent. But then Peter said, "I have much to learn. I know this. I am old, Master, but I try." Jesus responded, "Yes, I know." Peter said, "When I came here, I saw no one with you, but you said you were not alone." Jesus put his head close to Peter's ear and said, "There are angels among us." "Angels?" Peter said, and quickly jumped up and looked around. "I don't see anyone." He started waving his hands. Jesus asked, "Do you have to see them, Peter? Do you not believe what I have told you?" Peter sat down in a huff and said, "I know what is written, but I have never seen an angel. And so I'm not sure if I truly believe in them. What is an angel? What does an angel do for us?" Why is one with us? Jesus answered, Many questions, Peter. You ask many questions. The angels are with each and every soul. They are within our heart, our mind, our very being. They are there to help guide us, and we must open our heart and mind to them. We must spend time in prayer and doing good works. When we do this, we open the door so that our angel of light may enter and help to guide us. Do you think our Creator, the Heavenly Father, would place us upon the earth without a guide? Peter thought for a moment and answered, If this is true, then why can't we see the angels? Jesus smiled and said, Maybe because the Father has given us free will, and because humans have chosen to sin, we can no longer see such goodness. Yes, we can see the beauty and power in nature, but we cannot see a spirit of light and love. We can see a tree, the sun, the moon, a raindrop, the ocean, a child. We can feel, but some things we cannot see. Peter thought for a long time before he said, Master, will this angel created by the Father stay with us forever, even if we have sinned? Jesus answered, An angel is with every man, woman, and child, and shall be until our final breath. An angel is the Father's kiss of love upon every soul as he breathes life into it. Story of faith and imagination. Any part of this story resonate to you? Peter saying, I have so much to learn. I know this, Master. I'm old, but I try. There are things in your life that you know you have to learn, things you would want to know more about. And Peter, in order to believe, said that he had to see them. Why, if I can't see angels, then why should I believe in them? You have to see them, Jesus asked. Can't you just believe what I told you? Can those of us who have faith believe what has been revealed to us through the Word of God, in the Bible, in the Scriptures? And Peter had many questions as well. He should have had when you're trying to learn something, but when he asks Jesus, what is an angel? Where are they? Jesus' answer, at least in this story of faith and imagination, not taken from the Bible, I need to say that, story of faith and imagination, answers that the angels are with each and every soul, and indeed they are, and we'll say a little bit more about that as the program goes on, as we talk about the Feast of the Guardian Angels. They are within our heart, our mind, and our very being. And he explains that angels are there to guide us. We're always looking for guidance, aren't we? GPS, I remember before when we tried to go someplace and we'd have landmarks and the number of blocks before you should make a turn. And it was so very difficult in many ways. And yet now you just listen to someone else's voice tell you. And if you get lost, it brings you to where you need to be. It just recalculates. And what do we need to recalculate in our life about some of our beliefs? Maybe things we learned that were a good foundation for us as a child. And things that we learned as a child sometimes don't seem as important anymore. It seemed too simple. And Jesus recognized that. And he tells Peter, you know, we have to spend some time in prayer and doing good works. When you pray, you make yourself one with God. You come closer to God. And when you have that power at your use, then there's so many different things that we can learn, so many things that become real to us. And that happens not just in prayer, it happens in doing good works. When we do the good that we see we can do, when we do what we believe is right, then we're going to be paid back by our very actions. Our brain will recognize what we're doing, and our heart will recognize, and good will come back to us. And then the story continues, and Jesus smiles and says to Peter, after he is asked, why can't we see angels? He says, and I think this is so true about so much in our life, maybe the Father has given us free will, and because humans have chosen to sin, we can no longer see such goodness. Seems there must have been a time in history and evolution of man when he could see the goodness that he did. He could see the goodness, the love that was coming to him from God and from others. But then, in some ways, our abilities given to us by God became distorted because of selfishness, because of sin. And yet we can recognize some of what happened between us as human beings when we look at nature. We see the beauty and power in nature. And if we can attribute that to its creator, then of course there's so much to learn there. But an angel who is a spirit without form, perhaps sometimes able to project form, certainly in the case of Lucifer, is a spirit of light and of love. But we can feel some things that we cannot see. We speak about it as love. We cannot see love. So many spiritual realities in life we cannot see, but we see their expressions. And so too, in nature, we see the expression of God's love. And Jesus teaches Peter that there's an angel with every one of us and will be with us to our final breath. And becomes a little poetic, at least in this story of faith and imagination, when he says, an angel is the Father's kiss of love upon every soul as he breathes life into it. And so it seems as if though the angel is almost a part of our very being, our conscience, there to guide us throughout life. We may think of intuition is perhaps being the action of an angel in our life. Let me go to one of the things that Mike Aquilina, we've had a couple, well, more than a couple occasions when we've talked about angels, and he has written a book called Angels of God, the Bible, the Church, and the Heavenly Hosts, and we're going to be pulling mostly from a book he's written called A Year with the Angels, Daily Meditations with the Messengers of God. And let me read from his book. The chapter one is titled, What is an Angel? What is an angel? It's a simple question already. We know the answer. An angel is one of those chubby babies with stubby wings that we remember from Raphael's painting. But a moment's thought convinces us that can't be right. After all, what's the first thing angels said when they appeared to people in the Bible? Don't be afraid. The appearance of an angel was frightening, even when they came to announce good news, and the gut reaction was to fall on the ground. Not too many things in life today are there that make us fall on the ground. We may react in other ways. But he writes, when we talk about angels, we usually mean any kind of spirit in Scripture. The word angel comes from a common Greek word, angelos, which means messenger. We can find it at the heart of the words like evangelist and evangelical, where it means news. And the good news is the gospel. So, angel isn't really so much a name as a job description. Angel is the name of the office, not of the nature, says St. Augustine. For what is called an angel in Greek is called a messenger in our language. Messenger, therefore, is the name of the action. It's what a person does. It's much like a carpenter, a baker, whatever. It names what they do, and so too an angel is a messenger. Mike continues, angels then are spirits who bring messages from heaven to earth. We also use the word angel to describe all pure spirits, those who worship at the throne of Almighty God, those who turn the gears of the cosmos, and those who battle with evil spirits. So there's this world all around us. We're surrounded by angels. Hard to believe. But I here am surrounded by angels. You, wherever you are surrounded by angels. He continues, but the Bible uses a wealth of terms for these creatures: seraphim, cherubim, choirs, thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, sons of God, ministers, servants, hosts, watchers, and holy ones. And so the names again of their particular function, different angels, groups of angels were created for different purposes. And we apply that to ourselves. Each and every one of us was created for some purpose by God. And it's surrounded by the life we live. We must support ourselves, but deep within our soul, deep within our heart and mind, there is some direction. And Mike writes, think of it this way. When we look up in the sky, we say we see clouds, but a meteorologist sees cumulus, cirrus, nimbus, stratus, and dozens of other types of clouds. We're not wrong to call them clouds, but the meteorologist's distinctions are important when they want to talk about what the clouds are doing, whether they're pleasant and useful rain clouds, or whether they plan on knocking down our house. In the same way, we can call any pure spirits angels, but we have more precise names when we want to make more precise distinctions. Our names do that, so many other things in life. He writes, not all heavenly spirits are messengers, strictly speaking, but heavenly messengers are probably the pure spirits we humans have consciously encountered more than any others. It's the messengers who must make their message known, and often their presence as well. The angel Gabriel not only conversed with Zechariah, he identified himself by name. Raphael did the same thing for young Tobias. The Hebrew equivalent of angelos is Malach, the root of the name Malachi, the last of the Old Testament prophets. In Hebrew, too, there is a certain ambiguity. The ancient sources disagree about whether the biblical Malachi was a heavenly messenger or an earthly prophet. So as there was then, so are there today many mysteries as we take this break. Welcome back to Amplify. I guess I'm my own guest this evening. We're talking about angels. As I explained during the first part of the program, that's largely because yesterday was a feast of the archangels, and on Tuesday, the feast of the guardian angels. What do you believe about angels? St. Francis de Sales said, make friends with the angels who, though invisible, are always with you. Often invoke them, constantly praise them, and make good use of their help and assistance. If you truly believe them, do you think that you would have more help and assistance? If you'd like to talk about angels with me, if you've had an experience in your own life, you have a devotion to angels and you want to explain why, you can call us at 866-391-1020. 866-391-1020 to talk about angels, the archangels. Has anything amazing ever happened in your life that brought you closer to God? It may be something you never told anyone, or very few people. That's happened with angels. People have been afraid to talk about them. And there's a period of time when we discussed them with great ease, when people, so to speak, came out of the shadows to talk about angels in their life. But it seems like we've fallen back in to not wanting to discuss them. And yet there are some moments in life which God intends to be between us and Him alone, something that would seem foolish to others. And belief in angels is foolish to others. Something that would seem foolish to others, but only God and you can understand. There are some things in your life, I'm sure, that only you and God can understand. Things that have happened in your life that no one else may know about, or things that you don't really like to talk about. Have you ever believed an angel has assisted you in some way, in any way at all? Even though they do, we're usually unaware of it. Until we start calling upon, as St. Francis de Sales said, and pay closer attention to what's happening in our life. It's like anything else good in life, right? Sometimes we don't understand, don't realize the people that love us. And it becomes a big surprise in many ways to find out how much they do love us. So yesterday, the Feast of Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael, the archangels that we believe have been made known to us through the scriptures, is a concept that was rooted in what the world was like at that time in the past. Civilizations ruled by kings found it easier to imagine the heavenly realm in similar terms. And so they thought that the angels must be organized like their world was organized. Why wouldn't we do that? And so we're less likely today to transform our forms of government to a heavenly realm. I guess we would love to be able to do that, wouldn't we? But we can't, especially these days, transform our forms of government to a heavenly realm. And yet, even we can see the appeal of our God sending out powerful messengers to help with the problems of the world. And lacking the context, we tend to imagine the archangels, perhaps, what would we make them today? Wouldn't we make them the superheroes? There's so many superheroes that we see in movies these days. There's always a movie coming out sooner or later. And so they're the superheroes, not in the sense that our culture presents them, but we may want to see them that way. And so Michael has long been seen as a powerful soldier taking on all of Satan's armies. And Michael is my famous saint. Most famous saint. And he's called upon by so many people. And in our diocese, we say that prayer at the end of Mass, at least most places we do, to Michael. And Raphael is perhaps less known, perhaps because the most extended biblical reference is in the book of Tobit, where he guides Tobiah on his journey to find a wife for himself and healing for his father. And then, of course, Gabriel. Gabriel is probably, without a doubt, the most known, because we hear about him most often in the scriptures, because he's the great messenger who brings the promise of salvation to Elizabeth and Zechariah, to Mary and Joseph, and brings the good news to them. So our experience of Jesus puts even the great archangels in the shadow. The gospel reminds us that Christ's power lies in humility and service to God and one another in the great commandment of love. And I think that the more we love, the more we will see and understand the reality that surrounds us. We will be able to believe things we couldn't really believe in before. There's just these wondrous things that happen. I won't go through the experience I've told you so often when my sister died a number of years ago and all that happened around there. And I don't know that I've talked about it in these terms, but there had to be angels there so that what happened that was so wondrous to us and we'll never forget this in all its simplicity, really, if you were to break it down and explain to people what happened, other than the concluding scene of her life, it might not seem so wondrous. But when you put it all together, and that's the way it is with life, sometimes we see one aspect of life and we try to understand it as best as we can, but we need many other moments in life to tie together with it, because all of life, God's plan of salvation, somehow expresses itself in all that happens in our life. Divine providence. God looking out for us. Providing even angels. There is another story then in light of that, what I think was a miraculous way in which my sister died, a story of faith and imagination. I'd like to read. And again, if you want to talk about angels, I'd be willing to do that. I can sit here and talk probably more about angels than I can about anything else in life, at least at this moment. There have been other moments, but at least at this moment. There's a story titled, What Happens at Your Last Breath? Have you ever wondered what happens when you leave this life, when you pass over to another existence? Jesus sat in a field of wildflowers whose seeds had been strewn by the winds and the birds. It was truly a beautiful scene. A gift of God untouched by people. He prayerfully thanked the Father for being able to see, touch, and experience such beauty. Most of us have had that kind of a moment in our life. Those who had come to listen to him were also deeply touched by this scene. They wanted to capture and preserve this moment so that they could continue to enjoy it. And don't we all have memories like that somewhere in our hearts and minds where there are things that have happened to us, things we've heard, we've seen, that we'll never forget. A young but wise man among them said, Master, when I sit here with you, I see beauty. But when I go into the town, I see suffering. I ask you this. When we breathe our last breath, what happens? Jesus looked at the young man and answered, What do you think happens? It's throwing the question back. We do that. Someone asks us a question, we throw it back at them. The crowd began to laugh. And Jesus quickly raised his hand, shook his head, and said, I didn't ask this question to make fun of him. Is it not a good question? The smiles disappeared and were replaced with looks of concern. The young man said, There are so many different beliefs about death, but I feel in my heart that life ends with a person's last breath. There are many people who still feel that today. Jesus didn't respond. Instead, he reached down and pulled a flower from the earth, snapped off its head, crushed its beauty, and let the petals fall from his hand. He looked down at the earth and remained silent. Then he carefully picked another flower, this time snapping its stem, but leaving the root intact. He placed the flower next to his cheek, touched it to his lips, and then he held it high for all to see and said, At the last moment of life, The Father gives a beautiful gift to us. He gives a special friend to every man, woman, and child. This friend helps us to make the journey from this life to the next. It is someone who has gone before us. The angel of death and the guardian angel who has been with us since the moment of conception and throughout life accompany the person. These three help to make this time of transition a joyful experience. It is like closing a door to one life and opening it to another life. The body remains upon the earth, but the soul, the Father's gift that makes a body human, must return home again. Think of the body as a shell in which the soul is encased. It is truly a gift beyond gifts, Jesus explained. The people just looked at one another. And a very old, wise man asked, "Master, do we choose who will come for us?" "No," Jesus answered, "this too is a gift." Jesus said, "When the body and soul divide, it will feel as though a great weight has been lifted off you. You will feel free and experience joys never before. You have told me that when you look at these flowers and the beautiful and peaceful scene they create, you receive comfort and feel good. But my friends, I tell you this, what you will experience at death is truly a gift that I cannot compare with any other joy you will feel." It almost stopped there. It's almost hard to believe, isn't it, that the joys that we feel here, that we're afraid we might lose, are going to compare to nothing when we pass over to another world. And the joy that we will feel in that union with God. The young man who was wise said, "Master, then I am ready to go." Jesus smiled and said, No, not now, my son, not now. It is at the will of my Father and not yours or anyone else's." The flower Jesus held in his hand began to wilt. He looked at it, placed it to his lips, and said, "There is sadness in death, but remember, we are here to learn, to give of ourselves, and to share what we have. I truly feel sorry for those who failed to do this, to work with their hands, hearts, and minds." Then Jesus gently placed the wilted flower on the earth and said, "I have not disturbed its roots. Another flower, like the soul, will return. What you sow upon the earth, you give spiritually to the Father. Sow good seeds, good deeds, and good thoughts, and you will leave good memories behind." Then a soft breeze began to blow. The flowers began to move to a rhythm all their own, and the smell of the sea drifted up the hill. Jesus smiled and said, "Come, my friends, let us go to the city to teach, to heal, and to comfort." This, again, was a story of faith and imagination, what happens at your last breath. Jesus is saying, in effect, that we all need to be loved, don't we? We all need to be loved. And when we feel unloved, we may experience many problems, not the least of which is not loving ourselves. So sometimes when we aren't loved, we feel we are unlovable and we cannot love ourselves. And That is much more important than most of us realize, that if you don't truly love yourself, you often start looking for love confused with satisfaction. And that's not love. Satisfaction, pleasure is not love, that you can find in all the wrong places and that are all too easy to obtain. And that raises the question, how valuable, how important do you think you are to God? Do you believe the story of faith and imagination, that when we die, our guardian angel accompanies us, and also an angel we call the angel of death is not a negative thing at all, but it means that's that angel's purpose, who is there for us. They bring us to another reality, to heaven, to be with God. And such care, if we can understand such care happens at the moment of death, imagine then what care happens during the course of our life. That it doesn't begin there, but it begins at the very moment of conception, so that when God creates our soul, He creates it with a spiritual aspect, which is our guardian angel, who is with us throughout our life. And so there are many ways in which God is present with us during the course of our life. How important do you think you are to God? Part of that answer is found in the fact that God has given us guardian angels. It's the ones that I've just described, whose feast is on Tuesday, to guard our soul. Who cares for your soul? We have free will. Who cares for your soul? To care for us, made in His image and likeness, and ultimately lead us to God. And so you might want to argue that your guardian angel is not doing a good job because of your problems, because of all the issues in your life. And yet we have to understand that we can be guided and can be guarded, but our free will can take us wherever we choose to go. So that angel can only work within the bounds established by our free will decisions, present and past, and those decisions made by those closest to you, and that includes your guardian angel. We're going to take this break. Welcome back to the second hour of Amplify, where I'm the guest tonight. I have a great devotion to angels. Thought it would be a good time. Hadn't lined up a guest, really. Thought I was going to have one. Didn't happen. My fault, no one else's fault. Thought that, you know, it's maybe let's talk about angels. Why? Because yesterday was the feast of the archangels, and Tuesday is the feast of the guardian angels. And so what about angels? What's their role in their life, in the unseen world, the spiritual world that is very much a part of our life, because we live with spirit? I mean, there's a lot of spirit going on over Heinz Field right now in terms of the football game that's going on. There was a lot of spirit this afternoon at the concert at Heinz Hall. Beautiful concert, and so many other things in our life. Spirit depends on motivating us, and we wonder about other life. What existed at the very beginning of life, before the earth was created? We don't know what the world of the one of what God was at that particular time. We know Heavenly Father was the creator of the earth, but we know that Lucifer existed, an archangel. What other archangels may have existed? We know Gabriel and Raphael, so there's three there. What was life like, and why did it change? I mean, we may be talking not about 2,000 years later, we may be talking in terms of millions or billions of years, in terms of how everything came into existence. And right now, our interest seems to be not so much on spiritual life that exists, but on other life. And certainly the angels are other life. In the first part of his book, The Year of Angels, Daily Meditations with Messengers of God by Mike Aquilina, he has the title, "We're Not the Only Intelligent Life." And he's not speaking here about extraterrestrials or some other form of life like that, which may exist also. We've talked about that in recent weeks. And our guest said he would not be surprised if there was life on other planets. But he reflects that, and now I'm talking about Mike again, Aquilina reflects that we tend to place humanity rather proudly at the top of all creation. And he talks about the church fathers. They were the leaders, the teachers at the very beginning years of the church, had a more modest and more realistic view. Yes, man is intelligent, but we're not the only intelligence. We'd probably like to think we are. We're the only intelligence. But he writes, there are beings above us as well as beings below us. Only God is unique. So again, I guess I didn't give the phone number at the beginning either. If you'd like to join us to talk about angels, whatever experience you have, your devotion to them, 866-391-1020. It's surprising a lot of people still think that this is a recorded program. It's live, 866-391-1020. Then he has first of all, this quote from St. Ambrose, the Son, and he's speaking here, Jesus, therefore is the only and true God. For this also is assigned to the Son as his sole right. It cannot accurately said of any created being that he is alone. How can anyone or anything that has fellowship in creation be separated from the rest as though it were alone? Thus we see that man is a rational being among all earthly creatures, yet he is not the only rational being, for we know that the heavenly works of God also are rational. We confess that angels and archangels are rational beings. So, if the angels are rational, we cannot say that man is the only rational being. And it's interesting, isn't it? So much is going on, and you see things on YouTube and all over social media about this, the relationship between man and animal, unbelievable pictures of this closeness that exists, while at the same time there are problems. Don't mean to say it's a love relationship everywhere, but Mike explains how all things have being through God. I've said before that my own personal belief through someone's thoughts that I believe in, or that is that the angels were put on earth to show man how to love. We're talking about the very beginning. Again, who knows how long ago that was. Certainly millions of years ago. We know that. Maybe 32 million years ago. But that the animals were put there to show man how to love. And then things went wrong after that, largely because of Lucifer, an archangel who had been cut from heaven and come to earth to help foster, because of our free will, all kinds of evil in life. And certainly we live in an age when right and wrong are not always clearly understood, because many people have accepted the belief that any form of behavior is acceptable as long as no one is hurt. As long as no one's hurt, why can't you do whatever it is that you want to do? Many people then believe that everything is relative. And so we can determine within our own circumstances whether our behavior is right or wrong. I'm the determinant of that. If I think it's right and it bothers you, too bad. I think I did something that was right, not something that was wrong. And many people believe that we don't need a value system, even from God. Even from God. And that first value system came by way of the Ten Commandments. We don't need a value system to guide our conduct or to give direction to our life. And I've talked with many people about that kind of fear that many people are beginning to feel, that we won't have any real teachers in the future, that we can count on. Everyone will find your own somewhere on the internet. We've come to a point maybe when we believe that it's more important for us to feel good rather than to be good. And that's what determines our behavior. I need to feel good rather than be good. And so we end up equating happiness with feeling, even though our guardian angel is always there, attempting as best as can happen to guide us to do what is good. But since we bear the sins of failure from not only our own life, but from the past, in terms of how man then has evolved, we have lost so much of what God has given to us. We need to pray that that somehow can be restored, and it can to various degrees. And from God's perspective, then, good and evil are powerful forces which are respectfully creative and destructive. Good is creative, evil is destructive. And we know that in a sense that nutritious food nourishes the body. And so many studies on that telling us, always telling what we should eat, and yet we don't want to do that. Even though junk food can harm our body, so too doing what is good in our life. We're talking here about our behavior. Doing what is good in our life is essential for the health of our soul, the principle of being, that part of us that will always exist. And the belief, the knowledge that evil is harmful to it. And so when you hurt another person, and sometimes we find this hard to believe, you also hurt yourself. Because there's a way in which all of us are spiritually connected with one another through God's creation. You also hurt yourself when you hurt another person, because it is God who created life and therefore who knows what is best for our soul, knows what is best for a body. And that is why God has given us values to guide our conduct and angels to help us to know what it is and how it is we should live. And also his words. So many ways God has done everything for us so that we might come back to live with him forever. And those values embody laws which distinguish right from wrong and good from evil. And so when, simply stated, when we do what is right and good, we connect ourselves more closely to God. Think about all of your relationships with people whom you love. Isn't it when you do what is right and good for them that your relationship grows and you come closer to one another? Think about the greatest relationship of love you have, and then think about your relationship with God and how in some sense they evolve the same way, unless, of course, the person that we've chosen was the wrong person for us. But when we're talking about true love, and when we do what is wrong, then we separate ourselves from God, who is truly the source of our life. Life comes from God, ultimately. And maybe we don't even see that. We don't realize when we have drawn away from God. But maybe we could begin to understand that when we weaken the spiritual powers, the gifts that we receive from God, when we aren't the person we know intuitively, we know deep within us, I am not the person that I should be. I can be much better husband. I can be much better wife. I can be much better at work if I really made the effort. And so it should be clear that God does not want us to be engaged in behavior that willingly separates us from his love. And so ultimately, that's what rules are for. That's what systems of behavior, that's what virtues are for. God doesn't want us to be separated from his love, not to be able to understand his love any more than you would want to be separated from someone's love. There's someone in your life you would not want to be separated from, someone, if you did not have them, would make life so much different for you. And why couldn't we believe that about our relationship with God? Because we tend to want to feel life rather than to know life. And if we're feeling good, then we think we're successful. We think we're doing what is right. Not always true. And so God wants us to cultivate goodness within ourselves and others. We're all in this together. We are here to help one another. And that's what Jesus means when he says, love your enemies. And to do that, to cultivate goodness, is the best way of destroying evil, that archangel. We talk about the archangels. We celebrated yesterday. It wasn't Lucifer, even though he was one of them, we believe. But doing good is the best way to destroy evil within ourselves and in the world. We're not doing it any other way. Doesn't seem that way. God's goodness then is within us. Would that we could see that. Would that we just wouldn't look at our face in the mirror. Although that can become an important exercise to see what we look like, to make sure we look good, because God's goodness is within us. And it is our choice whether or not we will use that goodness. And we have that goodness, can accomplish that goodness, because God created us in his image and his likeness. God created us so that we could be filled with goodness and love. We are loved so much by God that he fills us with his goodness and love. And so it's the end of a day today, but tomorrow, when you wake up, when you begin your day, use the goodness you possess, the kindness, the compassion, everything that reflects your goodness. Use it in the simple and ordinary ways that can spread goodness in your world. May not be able to reach throughout the world, but certainly in your world. One of my favorite saints is Saint Augustine, and Mike reflects on one of his sayings that Saint Augustine presents a hierarchy of living beings from plants through angels, and shows us how all those things, no matter how noble or how complex, can only have their being through God. So think about the people in your life. Their being is from God. And in doing so, he gives us a good description of how angels compare with other living beings. And so Augustine writes, whatever we're thinking of, whether it's the whole world, its shape, qualities, and orderly movement, and all the objects in it, or whether it's all life, either the kind that only nourishes and maintains as trees do, or what besides this also has sensation as animals have, or what adds intelligence to all these things as human beings do. What a gift we are from God. or what does not need the support of food, but only maintains, feels, and understands as the angels do. All these things can only be through God, who is the source then of all being. We exist because God knows us. We exist because God has brought us into existence. Our life comes from God, all of us, humans, and the angels that we're talking about tonight exist only because God knows us. And in a deeper sense, sometimes to know is to love, as we can draw from so many of our relationships. To know someone reaches the point where we love them. We see their beauty. We see the goodness within them and share in it in so many ways. So we're going to take this break, and we will be back for the final portion of our program. Welcome back to the final segment of Amplify, as we're talking about angels this evening. If you're just tuning in because of the Feast of the Archangels yesterday and the Feast of the Guardian Angels on Tuesday, we have just about, I think it's about 20 minutes left in our program, and going to raise the question about, do you think that, we know Gabriel appeared to Mary and Joseph to talk about the birth of Jesus. You think that was the only time? Were there other times? If I'm asking you to reflect on the presence of angels in your life, then what must they have been in Jesus's life, in Mary's life, even because of the challenges that faced them throughout their life, especially Jesus during the last week of his life, and Mary standing beneath the cross, and then what she had to live like afterwards. And did Jesus ever really speak to an angel? A story of faith and imagination. Jesus was enjoying one of those rare moments when he was all alone. He had taught on this spot many times, but it seemed as if he were seeing it for the first time, the rocks, the trees, the earth, and the sky. Everyone should have some time alone like this, he said to himself, surveying the beauty and power of the universe and becoming one with the Father as he did so. He was tired, so he sat down and leaned against an olive tree, enjoying the warmth of the setting sun upon his face. He couldn't keep his eyes open, and sleep easily overcame him. His rhythmic breathing seemed to match the softly blowing winds. Deep in sleep, he saw a bright light, an angel, and many people. Some looked angry, some looked like they were crying, and some had no expression on their faces. But Jesus couldn't hear them. And so he called out to the angel, I wish to know what they are saying. The angel whispered with the softest and most beautiful sound of love, you cannot hear them, for they do not call out to you yet. They speak to the Father. But am I his son? Am I not? Jesus said in his dream. Yes, said the angel, but you still have not shed your... And suddenly, the angel was silent. Jesus woke up to find Peter and John sitting beside him. Master, Peter said with a large grin, you sure were tired. You didn't even hear us walk up to you. Jesus noticed the darkness now filled the sky. "They must have been sleeping for a while," he said. "Yes, Master," Peter said, "but as you tell us, you wouldn't have slept so long if you didn't need it." Peter grinned again, and Jesus smiled his gentle smile. "Yes, Master," Peter said, "but my friend, Jesus said to Peter, "you are a father and still a son." Peter looked confused. But before he could ask him what he meant, Jesus described his dream. When he finished, Jesus said, "Dreams many times tell us what we refuse to see in life." "Yes," Peter said, "when I was a child, I dreamed often of falling from great heights." Jesus nodded as if he knew and said, "You had a fear in your life, did you not, Peter?" "Yes," Peter said, "but I didn't realize it and overcome it until I grew older." Jesus said, "Dreams are like windows through which we can see life in new ways." "Should we follow our dreams?" Peter asked. "Not always," Jesus answered, "but if we understand their true meaning, we can understand our life better." A story of faith and imagination. So much that we can understand about what people believed about angels in the early church before things began to change. And we became more interested in the concrete rather than in the spiritual, in the physical, rather than the spiritual. And one might wonder, why didn't God prevent evil? And the question that Mike asks is, couldn't God have made creation so that evil never happened? Yes, he could have, says St. Justin the Martyr. But God knew that creation would be better if both we and the angels had free will. So think about that. We can look at free will as something very good, certainly as it was given. But what did it become over time? Free will meant that we could return to the Father if that's really what we wanted to do. Makes you wonder, when we pass from this world, do we still have free will? Could we say that after the angels have carried us to heaven, one under one shoulder and one under, or one arm and one under the other arm, with free will, could we say, you know, I don't want to be with God. I don't want to enter the heavenly realm for whatever reason. So we have free will. We've been created in such a way that we're not forced to do anything, but we truly become ourselves through our free will. We make ourselves who we will become with the help of God, with the love of God, with the grace of God. So there's so much in life that is a mystery to us. And the devil has free will. Think about that. Lucifer, of course, has free will. And he uses that free will. He chooses to do what is harmful in life. And certainly the angels listen to Christ. They listen to God, and we listen to God sometimes through the angels, through what they do to show us the way, messengers. And St. Augustine wrote that the word of God was given through the angels, and it was heard with obedience. Do you listen to the word of God today with obedience like the angels did? And we who receive the word of God, we who hear the scriptures or read them at home, should be even more careful to listen to what God has to say to us, because Christ for Christian is the teacher. For other religions, it may be someone else, another way. And St. Augustine certainly sent messages through his angels. But now, today, he speaks to us through the Son himself. And we need to listen to that. We need to be attentive to all that God may be saying to us through our guardian angel. St. Augustine writes, whenever God appeared to the patriarchs, he presented to them according to the times. He did so through created beings. And God still does that through created beings. We have the authority of the divine scriptures, and our reason should not stray from them. It should not leave the solid support of God's own word and fall off the cliff of its own speculations in matters where the perceptions of the body cannot settle the question, and the truth does not shine forth by clear reason. So how do you know the truth? How do you make that decision if you have two points of view, and you just find it so hard to determine what is the truth? If our angels can help us with that, the Holy Spirit helps us with that, and the words that God has left us can help us with that. Story of Faith and Imagination. The disciples sat around a fire, each of them telling stories about their youth. Judas said, "Master, you have not told us a story about when you were young." Jesus smiled and responded, "I remember some of the words my mother spoke to me. They have been gifts to me." Some of us remember our mother's words too and bring them up. "When I was but a child, I sat by her feet while she spun wool. She had tears in her eyes, but a smile on her face. I asked her mother, 'Why do you have such a strange look on your face?' She told me about an angel that came to her when she was very young." And so here is a story that indeed says angels came to Mary when she was young and even later. "I asked her, 'What is an angel?' She responded with a very beautiful smile, a smile I shall ever keep in my mind. She told me that this angel spoke to her and that she did not understand his words, but there was something in her heart, a great desire to please him by saying yes." So is it possible that even Mary didn't understand fully what it is that God wanted her to do? Same thing in our lives. We get some sense of what it is that God wants us to do, but we don't understand the full thing. But if we believe it comes from God, we know that God will stay with us to give us the wisdom and strength we need. Mother said nothing else as the years passed. And then one day, as she was drawing water at the well and I came to help her, she had the same strange look on her face. She was smiling with tears in her eyes. Once again, I asked why. She replied, "My son, while I was drawing water, I heard the most beautiful voice. It said, 'My child, be not fearful, for soon your son will leave, but you will never be forgotten.' She said nothing more, I have thought about these words. They give me comfort because I know I am doing the Father's will. It was Peter who asked, "But Master, how did you know that you must do the Father's will?" Again, Jesus smiled and replied, "Before I gathered all of you, my mother and I sat for a long time in silence, and then with tears in her eyes and sadness on her face, she handed me the bread she had baked, a bit of oil, and some salt. She said, 'My son, I give this to you. My home, our home, is always open, but I know now that you must go to do the Father's will.' She hugged me and said, 'Now, my son, go in peace. May all my prayers for you be answered.' I did not turn. I could not. But I knew in my heart that she loved me, would always love me, and would be there when my time came." Story of faith and imagination. And indeed, she was. But this story suggests that, yes, there were angels in Mary's life and Jesus' life on other occasions. And this one seems to indicate not only was it there when Mary was told that she was to give birth to a child, but also when he was about to journey to begin his ministry that would lead eventually to his death. A young boy walked silently beside his father. When they reached Jesus, he could see there was both anger and fear in the father, who fell to his knees and pushed his son down at the same time. Jesus said to them, "It is not necessary to kneel. Arise, get up." And Jesus helped both of them to their feet. The man who was old said, "This is my son. I have taken him into my home because both his father and mother have died. My wife and I have raised him since he was an infant. Because of what he tells me, I am afraid, however, that he will never be able to take over my trade." Jesus looked at the old man and asked, "Of what are you afraid?" The old man answered, "He says he speaks to angels. That's what he tells me." The young boy's eyes were still cast to the ground, and he would not look into Jesus' eyes. Jesus said to him, "Look at me, son, and tell me why your father is so concerned about you." The young boy began to stammer and stutter before he could say, "He does not believe what I see." "And what do you see?" Jesus asked. He answered, "I see angels." If you had a son or a daughter who told you that, how would you feel? You would have many questions to ask yourself too, wouldn't you? "I see angels. They are everywhere. They walk with people. They talk to people. But people ignore them. I don't. I talk to them." And he just looked at Jesus. And Jesus asked, Do they answer you?" "In my mind," the young boy answered, "because I know they love me. I see them everywhere to everyone. Everyone has an angel." Jesus smiled his gentle smile and said, "You were right, but You must explain what you have seen to your grandfather. Oh, no, the young boy responded. My grandfather wishes to be my father. I am not to call him grandfather. Jesus said he is a good man, but he does not understand. No, the young boy repeated, he does not understand. And Jesus extended his hands toward the old man and said, my friend, have no fear, because what this boy has is truly a gift. It is a gift he shall carry until his time comes. He shall be a kind, giving, and loving person. The old man turned away, spat upon the earth, and said, you have been of no help to me. Jesus shook his head and said, my friend, your boy possesses one of the most beautiful gifts that can be given to any man, any woman, any child. His gift enables him to create and to be generous and to be caring. He has been specially chosen by the Father to tell the world about the love of angels for everyone. Don't forget then how precious life is and how powerful love is. Tell someone now that you love him or her. Pray for peace as if it depended on you alone, and come back next Sunday and amplify with us.